KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and available all-wheel drive with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, October 9th. KPBS looked into just how far the sharing of license plate surveillance data in El Cajon has gone. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A grand opening was held yesterday for a new affordable apartment building in East Village. Harrington Heights has 270 apartments that will remain affordable for at least 55 years for households earning 25 to 50% of San Diego's median income. 40 apartments have been set aside for individuals with developmental disabilities. The San Diego Housing Commission says they awarded 115 federal rental housing vouchers to help many residents make rent. Almost two-thirds of those vouchers were for those experiencing homelessness. A San Diego-based vape company has agreed to pay a $100,000 fine. The San Diego City Attorney's Office alleged that Vapor Authority was selling flavored tobacco products. That violates the California Health and Safety Code and a City of San Diego ban on flavored tobacco sales. Both are designed to fight back against youth nicotine addiction and protect overall public health. The lawsuit also alleged that flavored tobacco products are targeted to kids specifically. A settlement was able to be reached with no admission of guilt by Vapor Authority. San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria just announced the city's new chief financial officer, pending approval by City Council in the coming weeks. The new CFO is not new to the city's finance department. Rolando Charvel currently serves as the city's director of finance and city comptroller. He also served as CFO for a few years before the COVID-19 pandemic. Rolando holds a bachelor's in accounting from SDSU. The selection of a new CFO comes as the city struggles to raise new revenues to avoid deeper budget cuts to things like library and rec center hours. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Last week, California's Attorney General Rob Bonta sued the city of El Cajon, alleging its sharing of license plate surveillance data with agencies outside the state is illegal. An investigation by reporter Gustavo Solis shows how far the sharing has gone.
A KPBS investigation revealed that data collected by the El Cajon Police Department's license plate surveillance program has been included in nationwide immigration-related searches more than 550 times this year. It shows police departments from states as far away as Texas, Virginia, and Kentucky routinely tap into El Cajon's data for immigration-related searches, in some cases, on behalf of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. California's Attorney General Rob Bonta sued El Cajon, arguing that state law forbids local police departments from sharing this data with agencies outside of California.
The whole point of the restrictions on sharing is that once it's shared with any entity out of the state of California, you lose control.
Now, Bonta could not definitively say whether El Cajon's data was specifically used for immigration enforcement.
I don't believe that we know that, but it is naive to not flag that risk. That's the whole point that the law was, that's why the law was passed.
But KPBS can. We compared El Cajon's surveillance data with a similar data set from another police agency that was provided to us by the privacy rights group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. The analysis showed that police departments outside of California routinely use search terms like immigration, immigration enforcement, immigration violation, and ICE. And El Cajon's data is included in those searches. Dave Moss is the Director of Investigations at the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
It's pretty significant. In California, it violates multiple laws to use the system to not only for immigration, but to allow an external and out-of-state entity to access your data. So we're talking about multiple laws that might have been violated in this process.
KPBS shared its analysis with El Cajon Police Chief Jeremiah Larson and invited him to review the findings. He declined. In a previous interview, Larson said the police department performs regular audits to its license plate reader program.
We do regular audits and, you know, we have a lieutenant that oversees the program and makes sure that when people are using it, they're using it for the right purposes and legitimate reasons.
But later, in an email, Larson suggested that the audits only include internal searches, not the external searches done by outside agencies. Moss says that the people of El Cajon should be concerned about the lack of basic oversight.
So it's not surprising to hear, but it should anger everyone to hear them say it out loud.
He also says that Chief Larson's decision not to conduct external audits show that the police department cannot be trusted with this technology.
If you have decided that you don't have to monitor that stuff, then you shouldn't have access to this system at all. Like, you have just proven that you don't have the cybersecurity chops at the very basic fundamental level to be trusted with data for your community.
It's unclear whether the El Cajon Police Department knew about these immigration-related searches. And Chief Larson did not say whether the department plans to change its data-sharing policy. In response to the Attorney General's lawsuit, El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells defended the practice, calling it a cornerstone of effective policing. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
We're 9 days into the government shutdown, and TSA agents and air traffic controllers are still working without pay. Airports across the country are starting to feel the effects of staffing shortages. Reporter Jacob Ayer takes a look at what that might mean for our region.
So far, it's business as usual at San Diego International Airport. But airport spokesperson Nicole Hall says there could be delays if federal staffing constraints intensify. Elsewhere, it's been a different story. On Monday, the Hollywood Burbank Airport had no air traffic controllers on site for about 6 hours. Air traffic control was remotely passed on to a facility in San Diego. Former controller Kevin Carpe says while he knew safety would be maintained, it surprised him.
I have never come across where no one was available to staff a control tower during a furlough or a shutdown.
Carpe says if the shutdown continues, expect more flight delays nationwide.
If you have multiple people sick, it just slows the system down very much.
The FAA said in a statement there have been increased staffing shortages across the system. And when that happens, they slow traffic into some airports to ensure safe operations. For now, San Diego Airport is asking passengers to check their flight status before arriving and allow extra time for security screening. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
The Grossmont Union High School District Board is considering proposals regarding religious expression in schools. Reporter Elena Faro has the details.
One would allow parents to opt their children out of instruction that they feel infringes on their religious beliefs. Another loosens restrictions on how teachers can engage students in prayer outside of school hours. Both proposals come after recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings. Dan Eaton is a local expert on constitutional law.
What the court said was that teachers don't shed their constitutional free speech and free exercise rights at the schoolhouse door, as long as it's not done in a coercive sense, as long as it's not done in their official capacity.
Board members Gary Woods, Scott Eckert, Rob Shield, and Jim Kelly have historically voted as a block on conservative issues. In an emailed statement, Board President Woods said he hopes the revisions clarify the religious rights of students and staff. Meanwhile, Board member Chris Veit will introduce an amendment to make clear teachers cannot lead prayer in the classroom.
I mean, they can teach classes on religion, obviously, and that's fine. But I think expression of religion for me in the classroom just opens a can of worms that is going to be problematic.
The public meeting begins at 6 p.m. in the Grossmont High School Theater. Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
San Diego is preparing to update its rules on historic preservation. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says it's an effort to balance preservation with the need to build more housing.
Historic districts are meant to preserve pristine examples of an architectural style that was important to San Diego's history. Critics say they limit the ability to build desperately needed housing, particularly in wealthy neighborhoods. One of the proposed changes would give the city council more authority to overturn historic designations they disagree with. At a virtual workshop on Wednesday, Sharon Gale said that's more democratic.
A de novo appeal process would allow the city council, who were elected by the majority of voters, to consider all aspects of a decision and to do what is best for everyone in the city.
Preservation groups oppose the change, saying it would insert politics into decisions that are supposed to be based on objective facts. The reforms are set to go before the city council in January. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Taxes on second homes, combining police departments, the city taking over the power company. There was a lot of news at Voice of San Diego's PolitiFest over the weekend. In our Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego CEO Scott Lewis has a rundown.
Who wouldn't want to go to a festival of local politics on a sunny Saturday, am I right? Each panelist presented solutions to a local problem and the audience voted on the winner. Let's go through three top news nuggets dropped at the event and why they matter. One. Council President Sean Elo Rivera proposed a new tax on second homes and a fee for non-residents to enter Mission Bay Park. And the money would go to infrastructure and childcare. Two, San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria wants to take over the Harbor Police. The idea is to bolster the police department. He also wants to use police drones more and have artificial intelligence do more police work. Three, a group has been working for years to force the city of San Diego to buy or seize the power lines from SDG&E. They say SDG&E takes 20% as a profit, and the city could use that money to lower bills and provide other community benefits. But this group actually doesn't want the city to do it. They said the city could not be trusted with this responsibility. Over and over, presenters came back to the issue of trust in the city of San Diego and how much it has eroded. These proposals show just how bad that perception's gotten. I'm Scott Lewis for Voice San Diego, and that's why it matters.
The San Diego Filipino Film Festival opens today with a meet-and-greet reception followed by 3 days of films. Cinema junkie Beth Accomando previews the condensed festival.
For its fourth year, the San Diego Filipino Film Festival has shortened its run, but still goes all in on celebrating diverse Filipino voices through film. Programmer Sammy Andico screened more than 100 movies to curate this year's lineup.
We have filmmakers from the U.S., back home in the Philippines, from Europe and Canada, so it's a diverse group of voices, Filipino voices, from all over.
One of those voices is Benito Batista, co-founder of the festival. He'll host a community screening of his documentary, The Road to Sydney, about Philippine dance master and choreographer Sydney Loyola, who faced discrimination following her gender affirmation.
It's an expression of dance, you know, as an art form, as a support system, a sort of a haven for counseling and healing, especially for the trans community. And you can see the evolution of Sydney as a human being as well.
I want to create movement in that music. I want to recreate that memory being performed by a person of a Filipino heritage, but her technique is Western. So I want to incorporate that Western technique to the traditional form.
The festival also hosts multiple short film programs before closing Sunday night with the feature Sunshine, about a young gymnast facing complications on her road to the Olympics.
You are sunshine. Olympian. Okay?
Actress Maurice Rakal is scheduled to appear after the screening. There's plenty to choose from in 3 short days. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That is it for the pod today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for hanging out, listening, and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day. Thank you.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Maracal Design and Remodeling, helping homeowners with their home remodeling needs. From ADUs to kitchen remodels, room additions, and custom homes, Maracal Design and Remodeling can help homeowners design and build their dream homes. More at trustyourhometous.com.